Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I like sucking.
Put that dick in my ass.
Legit bad podcast.
I like China.
We're going to be turned.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
You are.
This is Joe Biden, and you're listening to Legit Bat Podcast. And now your hosts, Jim, Jan, and Bland.
All right, welcome back to Legit Bat. I am Joe. Jen and Ben are not here again, but my buddy Brandon from Expanding Reality, my de facto co-host for the week, is stepping up again in a big way. And he should be here tomorrow, too, for the other show, but We're just going to dive right into it. We got, you know, longtime returning guest Crow, and actually we have Rose and Jason joining from the car. So if their audio sounds a little weird, that's why. But, you know, you can deal with it. You've heard worse. I wanted to get Crow back on again for obvious reasons, but also because he's been doing a lot of solar scope work, which he was teasing over this last winter. And I've seen a couple pictures on Facebook and your Telegram, and let's just go right into that. All right, man. This is Crow 777 on Legit Bat.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Yeah, so what's your I don't know what you're looking for with the scope work other than trying to find anomalies or the second sun or, you know, whatever. What's been your goal with all this scope work with all that expensive equipment?
Well, I don't even know, thousands and thousands of hours looking at the moon, and I walked away with a different view. When I first started in the 90s, I was buying the NASA line, you know, the Hubble's great and all this other nonsense they feed us. By the time I got done with that, I had realized a few things. And as we come into this kind of age shift we're doing, I realized the sun is really the big story in all this. The sun is always the big story, but it's attached to your consciousness shift. For those of you that notice the consciousness shift, it's attached to the era shift. And there is another body up there, which I call the second sun or the sun we don't see. It's there. When I first filmed it in, I think it was actually late 2013 or early 14, but I've lost hard drive, so my stamps on my files aren't accurate. When I first filmed it, I didn't have a lot of solar scope time, but I didn't want to push my luck. And when I posted it, of course, people did what they were doing with the lunar wave. You know, you faked it, it's lens flare, all the things they did, but I knew it wasn't. And so I laid off. It got reconfirmed. The second sun got reconfirmed in 2016 by Chris Van Maitre. That same year, the SLU Observatory was live streaming for, I think, children, the transit of Mercury across the sun. And at that point, the second sun was so close to the sun we see, he couldn't get it out of frame. So he had to comment. And he basically said, "You're all wondering what this other object is. Well, that's the second sun. NASA and everybody knows all about it, but they don't want you to know about it." You can look that clip up on YouTube, by the way. 2016 SLU Observatory Transit of Mercury live stream. Fast forward to now, I'd made predictions about the second sun and they came to be true. I filmed it in hydrogen alpha, which means we can't see that with our eyes, but I had predicted that at sundown or sunrise, you might be able to detect it with your eyes, and it's been filmed numerous times. And then lo and behold, on 6/6/24, D-Day, ironically, my buddy in Michigan spotted it, and we got a single screenshot, which is posted on my website. All my solar work will be exclusive for members of Crow 777 Radio. I don't post to censorship platforms, but that screenshot relocating the second sun is in that clip. So what I'm setting out to do here is prove some things about the second sun.
And what do you think
it might
that
be
is?
Important to discuss the difference between the telescopes that you're using, Crow? A lot of folks don't understand the difference between like the optical scope that you were shooting the moon with, and then with the H alpha, especially the powerful one you've got now as compared to the smaller one you had before. For instance, like if I shoot the sun, which I've done with my P1000 camera, I use an ND100,000 filter. But what I'm seeing with that is far different than the insane level of amazing detail you're getting.
So you're shooting in white light. Anyone can take a camera of any kind, put a filter over the lens. And by the way, I got to say this because I got to say this. Don't point freaking optics at the sun. If something goes wrong, you will go blind in less than a fraction of a second. It will fry your eye for good. So don't dick around. Having said that, anyone can take a camera, put an appropriate solar filter over the end. It knocks down the brightness like 98 or 99%, but you're looking in white light. That's what's called viewing in white light. What you will see is a white disc with some sunspots, if there are sunspots. What I am doing is shooting in the hydrogen alpha wavelength. What that allows me to do, and by the way, everything I'm doing is optical. I get all these comments that I'm posting NASA cartoons, and clearly it's my handy dandy digital systems making this nonsense up. My scope is optical. If I put an eyepiece on it, I'll see exactly what the camera is recording. So in the hydrogen alpha wavelength, you can look up online what the visual spectrum is. It's a very, very narrow. We see so little of the world that I don't think most people realize how little of the world we see. On one side, you go into UV. On the other side of the visual spectrum, you go into infrared or IR. So ultraviolet on one side, infrared on the other. Now, if you look up where the hydrogen alpha band is, that's where I am filming. It basically goes from about 6 AU down to 4 AU with my current system. I shot the second sun on a Coronado system, which was not nearly as good as what I'm using now, in 5 AU. To cut to the chase, it's expensive equipment to get quality stuff, and I'm looking in a wavelength your eyes cannot.
Yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of people don't even know the technical, you know, specs behind things. So it's easy to say, oh, it's Photoshop, it's NASA cartoons, whatever. But I've listened to you for years, and I know you're not trying to do any of that. You're trying to figure it out yourself too. So it would be pointless to post cartoons or whatever they're saying. Brandon, real quick, if you want, if you can find any of these pictures or like that clip he was talking about from 2016, feel free to just throw that up on the screen whenever, so that the visual watchers can, you know, see what we're talking about here. And for the audio, so, obviously you can check this out on video too.
So on Twitter, I have posted a handful or more of just the still images. The second sun clip is on YouTube. I don't know, Rose might click you a link. I'm not sure if you'll be able to find it, but it's also in Shoot the Moon, which is the 2-hour film posted on crow777radio.com for members. And near the end of that, the best footage that I have from 2016 of the second sun is posted there.
Nice. And speaking
of, I can grab
the
second sun clip if you want me to send it to you right now. If you want to throw it up, I'll put it in the chat.
That'd be, yeah, awesome. Go for it. Yeah, and I'll leave Brandon in charge of screen sharing. But while we're on the topic real quick of the Shoot the Moon thing, I had a couple listeners that were asking if I could ask you, the whole lunar wave thing has been kind of a mystery. Like we still don't really kind of know what that is, but there's a lot of people out there saying it's caused by a magnet near the optics or something like that. They said you can get the same exact effect if you use a magnet. What's your opinion on that? Because you'd think a lot more people would be coming out with these videos if that was the case.
They're just making stuff up. man. So if you put a magnet near a lens is going to do that. I mean, I think if you're going to make that claim, it would have to be a magnet near something electronic, wouldn't it? Like a television screen or something. My systems are optical. What happens is I point a telescope up. Light is collected through the front aperture. On the first system I used, it bounces off a mirror in the back, bounces to the front to another mirror, then bounces to the rear in an eyepiece. That's a Schmidt-Cass grain. In the Apo refractor that I'm using now for solar, light comes in the front. It goes down through etalons, which filter the light. It's just a filter into the, well, it blocks out wavelengths and allows the hydrogen alpha to come through. And then it goes to the end of the scope to an eyepiece. Now, if I want to film it, I remove the eyepiece and I put a camera there. So the idea, and here's the other thing that these people who want to make all these claims, it gets old and it gets annoying because they're not thinking. In the 2012 filming of the lunar wave, what happened is I panned my telescope below the moon and the wave started. Now, I didn't see it because I was looking at the back of a DSLR camera on a 3.5-inch LCD. So I didn't notice it. So I panned my scope back up on the moon, and then the wave caught up to the camera. That proves beyond argument that it is a filmed event independent of anything to do with the camera recording it or the scope collecting the light. And that was the very first filming. So these folks that want to try to explain it away, I get that. I did the same thing. For a month, I tried to explain it away. I was certain that something had failed until the night that I realized that I had panned down, filmed the wave, panned above the wave, and the wave caught up to the camera. And at that moment, I knew this is real. I filmed it. There's no argument here. So for the folks who want to explain it away, that's fine. But if you're going to come with these arguments, maybe don't make stuff up. Go examine what's been put before you. I can't tell you certainly what caused it. I can tell you certainly that a flying object didn't cause it, unless there are flying objects up there that are completely silent, completely undetectable. And by the way, if you look up other aircraft making bow waves, every surface on the airplane makes a bow wave. Every lunar wave that I count as real, it's two waves. So here's the thing. I think it would be better referred to as a firmament wave. I don't remember how lunar wave stuck or who even said it first, but at that time, I thought it was peculiar to the moon. I thought it had to do with equinoxes, and those things are wrong. It's been filmed damn near in every month. It's been filmed in front of Saturn. It's been filmed in front of Jupiter, which tells me that any object that will sufficiently backlight the wave so that you can see it, it can probably happen anywhere in the sky, certainly across the ecliptic or the path of the sun, moon, and planets. I suspect, with everything that I know and everything that I don't know, that it's simply a ripple going through the firmament.
Yeah, it reminds me of the old tube TVs, you know, the refresh rate.
Right. What it looks like.
Refresh. Yeah.
If you took a VHS camera and filmed an old tube TV, that rolling wave is what you get. And here's the other thing. When I was back in the day, when I thought, oh, my camera messed up, it was a ridiculous thought because I was trying to explain away, because digital failure does not happen in an organic way. You get pixelation, squares, boxes, lines. You don't get this kind of organic rolling natural wave kind of look. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's the bizarre. Magnet idea is a bit much.
I still, you know, to this day, think about that video and I'm just like, what the hell was that? I don't have any good, I mean, nobody obviously has any good, you know, explanation for it. But Brandon, did you find that clip?
I did not. I needed clarity on it. Did we get it in the chat? I honestly
haven't
been listening to Crow.
Let me get it from the chat
and then I will share it. But I've just been excited about listening to Crow.
So here's the other thing. The other day, I think I may have seen the wave in front of the sun. The problem is I caught the very end of it. And when you're looking at the sun, there's an issue that always exists. Particularly, the larger the scope, the worse the issue for the sun. It's called seeing, where everything looks like it's scintillating and wavy, like heat waves almost. I thought I saw the tail end of a last wave, and my camera was not on because I was in between clips. So that's another thing that I'm hoping that I can demonstrate, that it can happen anywhere. Where the firmament is.
The other problem is a lot of people love to toss out, oh, that's just jet wash. Well, guess what, Mr. Smarty Pants, who thinks they know better? That's in the film, too. Crow's filmed multiple jets going by, and it doesn't look the same. Like, there's just no other way to put it. It doesn't look the same at all.
No, it's not. It's not the same thing at all. And I think we put less than a handful of planes transiting the moon. But I've seen so many of them. And the reason is, when you're sitting out there, like I used to shoot 6 to 10 hours a night. And when you're sitting there hour after hour filming nothing, and a plane comes along, you make a point to try to film it, even if it doesn't go over the moon. It's just something to film.
Yeah, for sure. And it's amazing that you get what you get, I mean, with that much filming. I mean, because I've sat out there and looked with my, I have a cheap scope, but I've sat out there and looked around at stuff before, and for the most part, you see nothing. But so Brandon pulled up this clip. If you want to put it on mute, and Crow can just kind of explain the video as we go.
I have a feeling it's in a ways, so you might want to scan forward.
Do some buffering.
So what you're looking at, that's lens flare. Right there is lens flare. Now, you're looking at the sun we see through a Coronado Max 90 telescope with a double-stacked hydrogen alpha Edelon system. The whole system is optical. All my systems are optical. Look at the top. The top of the frame, there's the sun we don't see coming through frame. And I can tell the story of kind of how I ended up looking for it, but that had to do with the moon. So watch, here it comes. There it is up there. Now, when I first did this, I thought that's got to be lens flare. So I jumped on Cloudy Nights and other places where the astronomers hang out. And they said, oh, well, you've got a Coronado double stack, and that's being created within the Edelon. Well, I did the same thing Chris Van Matry did. I covered it. I put a 4-foot cardboard tube. I did everything I could to prove that that's not lens flare, and it's not. And we know for sure now, because a friend of ours took a polarizing light filter. I'm using my hand right now to cover up the end of the telescope. I'm doing different tests, and I'm putting a cardboard tube to ensure that it can't be lens flare. Anyhow, our friend took polarizing light filters. Whenever light is reflected, and I should say, I'm not a filter expert, and what I'm going to say is correct, but I don't know if I'm going to say it in the right way. When light is reflected, you can use a polar filter to remove the reflection, proving that it's reflected light. She put a polarizing filter on this other object, and it didn't disappear. So it's a body. But that sets aside what the SLU Observatory admitted on the air. Now, you may notice that it's out of focus, or it appears to be out of focus. To me, it almost feels like it's on the far side of the firmament. But if I can get my new equipment on it, and by the way, this is a huge problem, because every time, the day that we relocated this, the chemtrails were there half an hour before it happened, and they blocked us from being able to film. The chemtrails show up every time I think that this starts to become visible. And if you see a sunset where chemtrails are blocking the sunset, I suspect part of the reason is because they don't want you seeing this. That's a guess. That's my opinion. That's not fact. And I got nothing to back it other than the experiences that I've had. That little mark down there is I'm doing things with the end of the scope, putting things over it like tubes and whatnot. Anyhow, to get back to the point, when the filtering was done, it proves that that's a body. When we located the 2016 clip from the SLU Observatory, they admitted that there was a second sun. But I think everyone should be perfectly clear that when you're told this, it seems like a bridge too far. But I want to remind everybody that NASA is a government quasi-military organization that has never told you the truth about damn near everything. And as a matter of fact, in my view, the only reason they exist is so you don't know anything about what's going on over your head.
Yeah, the charter goes up to the Department of Defense, by the way.
It's weird because, like, what would the NASA explanation be for that? There's no, from the globe model and the NASA perspective, there's no way they could explain what that is. So it would make more sense to try to hide it.
Well, there's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem for them. They like to talk. Their whole everything spins model is built on gravity. The biggest thing we're aware of that could affect their so-called gravity in our area is the sun. There's nothing that comes close. So what happens when there's another one to all those models?
Yeah. And do you think it's something in the idea of the, and people think whatever they want about this, the Planet X Nibiru whole idea, is it something like that? Is that what the idea of Planet X came from, is a second sun? Because I've heard some people say that, but I don't.
I almost wonder if that was a psychological operation to cover for the other body, to be honest with you. I don't accept the Planet X idea. And there are lots of versions of it. Oh, our gravity calculations didn't work. There's got to be another body. And this guy spent this many years looking for the body and that many. And we can't see it because it's always behind this. Well, that's a funny thing to say, because what I have learned from what I just saw with the second sun is it appears to be slightly closer. And I think I have learned that it spends the majority of its time behind the sun we see or lost in the glow.
Yeah, and I've seen interesting ideas on that too. There's a couple people I've done videos where you can almost see multiples of the sun. And I think it was David Weiss did a really interesting experiment where he had a globe model type of thing and was shining a flashlight. And the way that it worked is it would kind of light up that side of the globe as he's going around with it. And then with the eclipse, he covered up the flashlight, not the part you could see in the globe part, but the flashlight. And it made an eclipse type of deal. You know, what do you think about that? I love
how he tries to bring it to a realistic thing we can do in our kitchen, because that's really how we need to get back to thinking. All this nonsense and math and things we can't even deal with unless we go to school for 20 years is how NASA protects their nonsense. So when people like Weiss come along with these very basic ideas, look, I've got a flashlight. This is how light works. Look what I'm doing. I think that's a very helpful thing to do. Even if it's not 100% correct, I think it's a very helpful thing to do.
Yeah. And it just gives you a different way to think about it and a different way to explain what you're seeing, because like you're saying, what you're filming is stuff you're seeing. So there has to be some kind of official, you know, explanation for that. And they're not going to even acknowledge it so that they don't have to give an explanation. So it's a pretty easy workaround for NASA.
You know, there's some things that I would point out, and this is where what I'm about to say kind of drifts into the realm of where the people who love NASA and love science and would never question anything we've been handed are going to say, oh, you're a conspiracy guy, get your tinfoil hat. But if I had to point out a movie that was the most important movie ever made in this world in support of what NASA was doing on the moon, what movie would that be for you?
I was thinking Truman Show, but maybe not.
Specific to space. So a very big budget movie was made to support the ideas of us going to the moon. It was 2001, A Space Odyssey. It was a large budget movie. It was a big deal. It was released right before they were going to try to convince us they walked on plasma, which is my view of what the moon actually is. But there's a sequel to that movie that a lot of people are not aware of. And these movies are put out for a reason. Part of it is entertainment. Part of it is to make money. But also social programming is a big element of all entertainment, whether it be sports, music, film, whatever. It's been co-opted for this reason. The sequel to 2001, A Space Odyssey, is 2010, the year we make contact or something like that. At the end of that movie, the star of the picture does a little soliloquy where he informs everybody, my children will grow up in a world with two suns. If you go back to Star Wars in 1977, when Luke is on Tatooine, Go look at that. It looks so close to what we're seeing. The size of the extra sun, the color of the extra sun, it's there. And while we can't really use this as evidence per se, we can know that the intent seems to be there.
Yeah, the pre-programming is strong. And it we talked about this when we first started the show, but it's funny how these movies come out, and then when you point to it later and say that was pre-programming, or when that, when, you know, something comes true or is observable, people can just say, no, that was a movie, you tinfoil hat retard, because that was just a movie.
Well,
remember?
Let me address that. So how many people out there think we landed on the moon? And I can tell you now that when I first came to the East, National Geographic felt the need to put the moon lander on the cover in 2015 or 16, saying, oh, so many people don't believe what we did here. For National Geographic to do that tells you how many people aren't buying it. But here's my point. If we didn't go to the moon, now you tell me what 2001 A Space Odyssey is for.
Yeah.
Right? In my view, the moon is plasma. You couldn't walk on it if you wanted to. It's not possible. There's a legit scientist from, I think, the 50s or early 60s in black and white. I think he's in Australia being interviewed, where they're saying, Professor, what do you think about, you know, America landing on the moon? And he said, well, they can't. It's plasma. It's telling the truth. You can still look up these clips. Everything we know is about to change. And I think the real state of the world reflects that they realize they can't control it anymore, and they're trying to get iron-fisted control so it doesn't matter who knows what. That kind of appears to be what's going on right now.
Yep. There's something about the second Space Odyssey movie that was left out of the film but is in the book. Now, that second sun in the storyline is Jupiter being ignited by the monoliths. That second sun has a name.
Speed check reported ahead on I-10 East.
And that name is Lucifer.
There's more. In the original telling, I believe the other body was supposed to be Saturn. As a matter of fact, in 2001, I think what they called Jupiter was supposed to be Saturn, but there was some excuse.
So the way that went down is when Arthur C. Clarke was writing the novel, he sent them to Saturn. They changed it for the movie and then stuck with Jupiter. But Arthur C. Clarke, for whatever reason, even though they were supposed to be working on this film and the book at the same time, he still has them going to Saturn. And the excuse was that Kubrick couldn't get the special effects to work properly to his satisfaction for Saturn's rings. So they switched to Jupiter. Now, if you want to look at it from a symbological point of view, that's giving away an awful lot if they're going to Saturn.
Yeah, from the occult standard, and actually the real history of this world, Saturn is a major deal, but not in the way people think. Because what people see of Saturn is the misuse by the kind of Satanists, or whatever you want to call them, that are in charge now. The Blackhearts, I guess I'll call them, because I don't want to label them with just some random Lucifer Satan. Those aren't the same ideas, by the way. But what they are is dark. They're evil. They're self-centered. And they think that everything here and all the human beings here are their playthings. We see what they have done with Saturn, and we think that that is the measure. But there is a real history to this world. And if you go all the way back to how we got here, how this world came to be here, Saturn is a major, major player, as is the sun. Even up to the founding of Rome, you will find Saturn coming into the game, even a king named Saturnus, the Golden Age, all these things. So whenever you see Saturn in media, it's referring to big ideas that most of us don't know anything about.
Yeah, one of the questions that always comes up, especially when you're, you know, questioning NASA or anything like that, is why the deception? Why go through this much trouble to hide, you know, what the moon is, or that they went there, and how many people got to be in on it? I get that a lot. Where don't you think the Russians would have, you know, outed that by now if they knew the moon wasn't accessible? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Good point. Let me flip it. Let me ask everyone listening, you think it's possible that someone could come up with an inoculation, a shot that would kill a lot of people, And yet everyone in the world would push it, even though people were having heart attacks and dying. We've lost so many thousands now. How many people must have been keeping that secret? How many people knew the truth and didn't stand up? How many organizations demanded that you and your family get shot up with poison? So there's the reciprocal thinking on this kind of old, tired way of thinking about why would they do it. It's not about why would they do it. They did it. And if you take the time to look at the moon landing alone, it's a joke. I went to the Johnson Space Center. There's this freaking tinfoil thing that doesn't look big enough to hold three men. And then when I'm saying how small it looks, the guy there tells me, oh, they made this one a little bit bigger for display. I said, really? Where'd you put the dune buggy, folks? It's all laughable, and it's not about keeping secrets. It's about changing the way human beings think. It's about psychological operations that are statistically proven to work, which have been going on at least since the Frankfurt School, which is the end of the 1800s. Their little creature that followed them being Tavistock. What's happened here is the entire world has been fed nonsense, from our math to our languages to our governments. All of it is just for control. It's what it's about. It's what it's always been about. And this comes after a time, supposedly, when we had king and queens, right? And what was a king or a queen's biggest concern? How do we keep control? How do we keep control and hand it to our son or our daughter? It's always been this way. It's just now in the modern era, for a short time there, we thought there was decency in the world where power existed. And now, after 2020, we're realizing that decency doesn't really exist. They gave poison to hundreds of thousands of people.
So,
the comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
There's something about the relationship between the United States and the former Soviet Union that a lot of people aren't aware of. And that's that, and this is true about other countries in the world too. The United States feeds a lot of places in the world, or contributes heavily to their food supply. The United States and the Soviet Union were not the bitter enemies that was being played up in the media. Yes, they had opposition, but not to the degree that people think they did, because both sides were being lied to by their respective governments. Supposedly, Kennedy was speaking with, I think it was Khrushchev at the time, about doing joint efforts. Well, if they're that far along in talks about working on things together with a hypothetical space program, that shows that there's a level of diplomacy that is way closer than anything we normally think of for that era.
Well, think about this. If we didn't go to the moon, which I'm telling you is absolutely, you could demonstrate it, then why didn't the Russians just stand up and say, look at those foolish Americans lying. They didn't do anything here. They're lying to you. Why didn't that happen? Because the space agencies reside at a level above government. They're controlled from the higher echelons, as like military, so many things are. And in this country, you know, it was funny, Jason and I did shows to show how we got the political parties. And even after we showed people the speech that in plain English informs you, bankers set up the left and right wing to get you to argue about things that they don't think matters while they take over the world and the banking. In 1924, I had people come into the comments and say, you're being dangerous. We still need to vote. It's important. And so then I went down the road of showing you that your vote does absolutely bupkis in seating a president. In case you didn't attend junior high school, it is the college, right? The electoral college that seats presidents. You are being polled when you vote. And then they want to argue that's not true. Well, I can show you minimally five presidents that did not get the popular vote and were still seated, which proves beyond the reasonable shadow of doubt. And when you begin to know these things, it's time to quit dismissing and it's time to start getting critical. If it is true that we didn't go to the moon, if it is true that my vote takes no part in seating a president, then what the hell else is not true?
Yeah. And it just, I mentioned the other day, there's a, this back and forth that happens, not to go into politics too much, but just it's observable. When you look at every 4 years, they always say that person stole the election. The other side says they stole the election. Then it happens again the next 4 years. They stole the election. And all it does is it keeps you fighting. And the 4 years is pretty interesting because that's just long enough for people to get worked up and pissed off enough to then have it flipped in the next 4 years. And then the other side gets pissed off again. And it just goes back and forth. And I've seen this since I was voting age. I think I voted once or twice in my whole life because I'm like, this is stupid. Nothing changes. It just gets progressively worse for the consumers. I don't know why you guys are still paying attention to this. And all I got was, you still have to vote. It's all you can do. Like, well, if it makes you feel better about yourself, go for it. But okay.
Well, part of what you're describing is the Simpsonization of American culture. When I was young, America was respected. My grandparents were proud as you could be to be Americans. The products we made, the cars, best there was. Their perception of what happened in World War II, proud, proud, proud. Now what's going on? Oh, they stole the election. They're whittling away at any decency or honor to the point where now everyone's going to want Trump back, I assume, because they're holding up a guy who appears to be a zombie at this point, but he's now a felon. So we now usher felons back in, or whatever it is. I don't know that he's a felon. He's convicted. So now we usher in criminals. We demand that we get criminals to hold the highest. It's all just psychological operation, and it lowers us all. There's no decency. There's no honor. We do not open doors for women, the mothers of every child that will ever be. We do not treat each other with the respect we did 30 years ago. So many things have been kind of Simpsonized, as I like to say. And that's another thing. Look at what I'm referencing there. If you go back and look at the first Simpsons cartoon, it is so poorly done and so bad. How could you imagine that it would be there half a century later? I'm making a joke, but there's a reason. Because these are tools for the lowering. The kind of idiocracy that they showed you in that movie is absolutely what's been coming down the pike. Just the lowering of everybody.
There's no reason The Simpsons should still be on. Oh my God. Like, give it a rest. But no, if it's an effective tool, why would you take it away? It makes sense.
Predicting too much of the future. Yeah.
Yeah. So to get back to the... What's that?
The Simpsons, the time travel, one of the cool theories about the yellow cube thing and Matt Groening is that they have it still running and will continue because that's when time travel allegedly started or a little before then. And so they'll be able, time travelers can reference their references in the show to know which timeline they're in if they get lost. So whenever they comment about Trump being president or anything like that, and that's why they do so many topical things on the show weekly to give you a consistent timeline update of which timeline you're on.
Oh, so Simpsons are just a bookmark.
South Park would be the king of that, right? They do such a short turnaround. It's always talking about, that's a funny idea, but I'll tell you one thing. If time travel is real, then buckle up, because I don't think you can win against someone who can travel through time. They just keep doing it till they get it right, right?
Simpsons takes a long time to make. That's an interesting point, because South Park does turnarounds a lot of the time in 7 days or so. The Simpsons is one of those shows like Family Guy also. The production is months and months. So being topical, I don't know how within the future you can possibly put stuff.
Yeah, which calls it even more into question. And that's why all the characters allegedly are yellow in the show, is because the technology is actually a physical yellow cube. It's an object in physical space that, you know, that's what he uses, or they, whatever the they is in this situation, uses to be able to do what they do with that chip.
Yeah, it's funny, too. I heard an interesting comment from somebody that said if time travel was possible at the moment it was invented or they figured it out, it's basically all over because you don't know what's going on. They're going back and forth, or back, maybe just back, maybe only forward. So at the time it is, even if it's 100 years from now, say they figure out how to time travel, it's fucking already over because it's already happening. So,
well, if time, this is the problem with time travel. Well, depending on supposedly what it actually does, do they start a new timeline every time or whatever? But my point would be, you can't beat that, because they can just keep looping until they get the outcome they want. Now, when you add AI to that, you'll get statistical probabilities in the 90-some percentile. And your point about 100 years from now, how is it that we see all this struggle and everything else that we see when someone 100 years in the future is already manipulating this? And why would we have things like the COVID shot, right? If they wanted people gone, off them.
Yeah, my general thought on time travel is that, it's more of a dimensional jump instead of actual time. Like, it might be in time as well, but say you're going to a different, you know, multiverse idea or whatever people want to think about that. But, and so that's why everything is still farked up all the time, is because you're just jumping timelines, not really actually going back in your own timeline. But that's a whole other episode.
Well, I got to apologize. I pulled you guys so far off topic, and just so everyone listening, I broke my ankle on the 20th, so I'm a little bit dopey right here. So I apologize, because I feel like I pulled us way off the path.
You're in good company. No, you're in good company. Everyone who listens to this show knows we squirrel around from topic to topic. Most people like it, though, but I don't know.
It's actually the audience. It keeps up with our minds. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. But I did want to go back to the sun thing, because Jason had said in the chat he has an observation about sunspots he can't forget to mention. So what was that, Jason?
So sunspots, our friend Austin, for instance, films just about every day, and the sunspots are matching up with what Pro is seeing, but you wanted to contribute something there.
Yeah, something about the sunspots. When you're diminishing the light with the filter and the P1000, the sun looks like a white disc and the sunspots are black. But when Crow is doing it in hydrogen alpha, the sunspots look brighter than the rest of it. So it's almost like the hydrogen alpha, to me, seems like almost a negative view of what we're seeing in the P1000.
Let me make a slight correction there, Rose. When I produce the images, it's common practice to invert the image so that the blacks become white. The reason this is done is because you get more 3D detail and contrast. When I'm looking through my scope optically, so nothing has been filmed or inverted in a still image, the sunspots are darker, though they can be surrounded by areas that look totally white. Now, here's the problem. I follow a few people. That's actually not true. I saw work from a few people, and I thought that's so cool. You know, they're putting in the effort. They're doing firsthand observation. But this is what I'm talking about. They filmed in white light, and they noticed that the sunspots were not spinning as you've been told the sun spins. They were kind of circling around the center or dancing. And sunspots can, in fact, do this. But when you film in hydrogen alpha, what you actually see is the sun is spinning, at least the portion, that outer chromosphere and the prominences, at least the parts you see in that spectrum are spinning. And you will also see the spots will go around the corner, but not always. Sometimes they move around a little bit. So they made the claim, looking in white light, that you've been lied to, the sun doesn't spin. And this is unfortunate because they legitimately did the observation, but were not aware that there are other tools that people like me have that demonstrate that, yes, it is spinning. But on top of that, some other claims were made. The claims, and this is interesting as hell, by the way, the claim is that the sunspots we see on the face that we see are corresponding to the stars in a constellation behind the sun. And I thought that's a really interesting idea because we know the star is an energy of some kind. The sunspots are like little magnetic eruptions. Typically, there's two, one's positive and negative, and you get all that movement. But I thought that's a really interesting idea, but the claims made were problematic. If I hold my pinky at arm's length, that's a half a degree of sky, and I can cover the sun. So the sun's about a half a degree, as is the moon. The constellations, I don't know, I guess most of them are in the neighborhood of 30 degrees. That's where they divide them off. Most of them are that size or bigger. So there's a problem there making the claim that those constellations, not that it can't be true, but that has to be dealt with. If you're looking at half a degree of sky and you're saying something behind it, these stars are showing up on the face of half a degree, but these are 30 degrees of sky. Things like that need to be logically explained in some way. And that brings me to another point. And this is a bit of a Mandela effect, though I don't accept the Mandela effect. In the 90s, when I first started doing telescopes, I was taught that you hold your thumb at arm's length, which is 1 degree of sky, to cover a full moon. And I remember doing it, did it lots of times. Now we were told to hold your pinky at arm's length. So now we're told the sun is half a degree. Now people are going to go to search engines and say it's always been like this, but this is the problem with the Mandela effect. Most of it is based on memory. So I had brought it up. I didn't make too big a deal. And then by chance, I saw Apollo 13, where Tom Hanks gives us a little clue that what I remember was correct. Twice in that movie, he holds his thumb up to cover a full moon. 1 degree of sky.
Yes. Interesting.
Yes.
So I think it's fun. The hydrogen alpha pictures are really wild. If people haven't seen these, look them up. They're crazy. The sun looks furry. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. It does look pretty 3D, but it looks like it's covered in fuzz. So is your goal to try to get the second sun in hydrogen alpha 2 to see if it looks the same or see any differences between them?
I'll say this much. I'm going to use my tools to try to prove things that I have pre-worked out. I'm not going to talk about them, because I feel like a lot of effort has been expended to block these. I think a big part of chemtrailing has been used to block our ability to see it. How many times have people spent a month and seen the sunset unobscured by chemtrails? And that's the time when I know for a fact, on occasion, it can be seen in the visual spectrum. But getting back to my point, I'm not going to talk a lot about it, because if someone out there is trying to block our ability to know anything, then I wouldn't be very helpful. But I will say that with the tools I have preset ideas that will prove some things. It's all very difficult because it's hit and miss. It's not like I can get a bus schedule.
Yeah, it really is. And like you said, not just sunsets, but sunrises. I noticed that a lot. Just Even where we live in Northern California, it'll be forecasted to be a nice, clear, 100-degree day, because that's what we get here, and you wake up, and there's streaks. Before I even wake up, there's streaks on the horizon, and they follow the sun all day. It's
Across
the ecliptic. If you just look up and look at it, yeah, it's crazy.
So I'll mention a thing here. For those out there that sun gaze, you'll know what I'm talking about. For those who don't, I will say again, don't go out and look at the sun with your naked eye. You can injure yourself if you don't do it correctly and work up. It's just about like giving a baby a jalapeno. You don't do that.
But
in the morning when the sun is rising, you are looking through the maximum amount of atmosphere. The higher it gets, the thinner the amount of atmosphere you look through will be. When it's low on the horizon like that, you're looking through a ton of atmosphere. And if you sun gaze, that's when you first start training yourself, because it's blocked so much of the ultraviolet. When it gets up about 20 or 30 degrees from the horizon, there's more ultraviolet and the possibility to damage your eyes more. And I think this may be part of the answer why you can see the second sun in the visual spectrum when it's low on the horizon, setting or rising, because the amount of atmosphere is serving as a filter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, I can't wait to see what else you come up with all this work. We got all summer, but who knows how much of it's going to be, you know, visible because of all this stuff.
Well, unfortunately, I've been set back because I've got to heal up before I can carry my big honking scope out. But you guys are welcome to put some of the images up for folks if you want. And I will further say, if you're a member of Crow777Radio.com, you get exclusive access to all my telescope work, what I'm doing now with the sun, and what I've done in the past, and anything that I learn about the second sun will be posted there. And people complain about that, but I'm sorry, I don't do business with censorship platforms. If you go, you can go to my YouTube. They've kept me frozen at just under 200,000 followers for more years than I can count. And go look at what happened there. I put up an advertisement saying I've got new episodes on my website. So I don't play the social media game because I will not be censored. I will not have people control work that I did. That's my work.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially YouTube. We throw videos up on YouTube more as like a litmus test to see how far we can go without getting kicked off. So I don't really care about the YouTube. No offense, YouTubers, but I don't really put much stock or faith in that, you know, whole system. So the day will come when we finally get booted off for one reason or another. So enjoy it till then. But Brandon, did you have anything you wanted to ask Crow before we get out of here? We got about 10, 15 minutes left.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to commend you, first of all, because I'm the exact same way. I don't play that game, but I think that it's more of us content creators that are creating value that people are going to start finding attractive, so they're going to start doing it. I wanted to run something by you real quick. Dave Zed does this, and I think it's fantastic when he does this. So I wanted to ask you a question here. Let's say that this is our realm. We have kind of all gotten away from the globe model here, so let's just assume that we're all kind of on the same page with this. Now, let's say also that we have a dome that covers what we would call our terrestrial land here that we are using. Now, let's say also that the next develops, and I know that we are presupposing quite a bit here, but let's say that there's multiple lenses, which was what these domes would appear to be from anyone in our perspective looking out through them. And so if we are looking up and out, you get sort of that Lucifer effect with your eyes, especially binoculars, where you get the coming out here and that crossing line here is a very important feature. Now, some say that the sun up here, as it's doing its thing and rotating around, is actually filtering also a second sun, or seeing a second sun in the second lens or this other dome, this other area. And then Babylon, of course, has this completely going on, and all of these different ideals of this being a multi-layered system here. So my question, honestly, that long-asked question, is would be, could some of the things that you are seeing in the sun, especially when we get to the what you said about the constellations being refractions from behind, then this would sort of act like a inverse magnifying lens that would then shrink things from the back again because of this penumbrum effect, because it's coming in the other way, but the sun sort of then acts as a filter for the things behind it, or an amplifier or a magnifier, depending. So that then is transferred to us for us to view it in that way. But do you think, again, that some of the observations you're making could hint that there are other bodies in another system that also have a lensing effect with their domes or isolations?
So I think kind of what I see you doing is the idea that each luminary has its own kind of what we call the dome or the firmament. These are very ancient ideas, and it gets difficult when people talk about like the astral plane. Well, what are you talking right. about? Is it the next dome out, or, you know, so they're not very well defined. Here's what I think is correct at this point, which could change tomorrow, depending on what I learn. The sun is a lens for me. The moon is plasma. The moon is not reflecting the sun's light. The moon is reflecting energy from an aperture, which can be found at the North Pole, which is coming from the black sun below us. Now, the star field, I really like the work of Brahe and others, but the star field as I view it now is probably the furthest. Like, you're showing levels, like that one dome could be Mars's little, you know, pass over yeah. and out. So beyond Saturn, the furthest one would be the star field in my view. And the angles, there it is. So you're showing it. Now, if you show the angles on the black sun, show the energy angles from the black sun coming up, and then from our sun and moon, and the North Star has to be in the middle there up top. There you go. Show the light, the energy angles going in both directions. This is what's encoded in the Masonic compass and square. There's the firmament dome or whatever you want to call it. So down at, so what you have here in the center, that thing that looks like a CD, which by the way, in my view, the compact disc was made as a joke for those who actually know what our realm looks like. And by the way, it was reflected in the LP that spun at 33 RPM. Anyhow, if you make the energy beams come from the black sun up and down, what you'll see is this is the square and the compass in masonry. And even the name is making a joke of you because it's not Mason, it's the sun in May. It's always been about the sun. In my view, I think it is quite likely that the sun and moon are 3,300 miles up. That's your 33. I suspect their diameter, both of them, is 32 miles. Now, some of this I have corroborated by people who have access to knowing things. Some of it is me putting together what I know. Now, how it goes beyond what you've drawn here becomes problematic because we have the idea, well, we have the reality of an astral plane or the Bodic plane. And so how does that come into play? And by the way, if we have these, you know, the next dome out would be Mars, the next one would be Jupiter, the next one would be Saturn. Are those different frequencies? And so I can't answer all of that, but what I can answer is I suspect we can't leave our realm because we're tuned to here. If we left the tuning of this realm, we would simply cease to be if we went to the next level above, whether it's a plane or another dome-ish, firmament-ish thing. But what is very interesting, and I have this confirmed by people who were taught in a real education because of their station in life, that down below the plane that we live on is called Summerland down there. The name of that realm is Summerland, and that is literally a black sun. And by the way, probably encoded by the swastika and that other thing that looks like a swastika that has 12 black arms instead of four.
Yeah, I love all this alternative, you know, thought of what it's so much more elegant to me than the solar system spinning at a bajillion miles an hour and flying through nothing, and it just goes on forever. The stationary Earth idea, no, even if it was a ball, the stationary Earth idea just makes more observable sense to me than anything we're taught. And it seems like they're trying to do all these cartwheels, trying to explain. It should be easy to explain, especially with all the, you know, the math and the science. It should be very easy to explain. It seems like they're really having a hard time.
They make jokes on us all the time. Who remembers the Guidestones that got magically blown up so someone in the world thinks someone's actually pushing back against the people that are taking over this joint? Go look up what the Guidestones did. There were apertures cut in the rock so that you could tell where the sun was any time. There were all these sight lines cut through rock to look up at the sun and moon and the stars. Let me ask you a question. How would that possibly work if we were spinning on a planet faster than a 30-06 round, which is spinning around a sun, which is spinning many times the speed of a 30-06 round, around a galaxy, which is spinning many, many, many times the speed of a 30-06 round? You've been hoodwinked. You've been taught to believe in nonsense. And we have all been taught this to the point where we're addicted to it. So I will offer you this, because a lot of people will see what we just did here and start to say we need our tinfoil hats and we probably shouldn't have smoked so much dope when we were in junior high school. Those things may be true, but let me offer this. Go outside. Calm yourself down. Take in a few deep breaths. Close your eyes. And then imagine that everything you've been told about this realm is true. You are on a globe spinning faster than the speed of sound. That globe is spinning around a sun. That sun is spinning around a galaxy. That galaxy is spinning around a universe, or however it was that you were taught all that works. For about 3 minutes, close your eyes and imagine you are part of all of that. Go inside. chill out, waste a half an hour, do something healthy with a half an hour, have a cup of tea, come back out, calm down, take a few deep breaths, shut your eyes, and imagine you're standing on a stationary plane. And when you are done with that, you will have a choice. Do you believe your lion eyes? Do you believe your misled mind? Or do you believe what you've been told your whole life? And that is the problem with where we are, because many of us will discard the common sense experience that I just explained, because there's no tangible proof that we can offer up to make us feel better about it. But if you do what I just said, it could put you on a path to considering whether or not the things you've been told are true or not.
Yeah, and that we make a huge point of saying that with our show, with all these shows, you know, that are thinking, quote, alternatively, it's up to you. We're discussing ideas here, and people get really fucking pissed sometimes when you discuss an idea that goes against what they've been taught their whole life. It's like, why? It doesn't have, even if it's not true, let's just assume it's not. Why not talk about it? Why not think about it? You know, mull it around in your own head, see if it makes sense. I'm not saying you have to believe this or that we're correct on all this. I guarantee we're not, but maybe at least just consider it.
Isn't that a proof that you're pointing out? So you tell somebody this other thing that threatens the what they've been taught to believe in and they get mad. That's an evidence on its own, for the simple reason the truth needs no protection. The truth will be the truth whether you believe it or you don't. And when you're getting angry, it's because your truth feels threatened.
Yeah.
And you can't threaten the truth. The truth is the truth.
That is one of the
triggers in the truth. That's what it is.
The most telling things, yeah.
Sort of one of the dual responsibilities we figure out that we're saddled with here. Not only figuring out what the hell's going on our own against all the gaslighting, but also being sort of a buffer for people to have those triggering moments and for it not to trigger us and for us to just go, well, fuck you, forget it, you know, move on. There's a grace in this process that you got to be graceful with yourself whenever you're discovering these new things. And again, discovering you've been lied to, as Crow was saying. There's grace in this. And then also, just so you guys know, we've been doing it long enough to where, yeah, we're going to rag on some folks, but we're here. And we absolutely understand all of this because it is a process. And for those of us waking up, it is easy for us to also sort of choose sides and say, well, they're dumb and they're sheeple and all that. But also, I would encourage folks to just be mindful of, you know, the grace that comes with this sort of information. There's an emotional maturity that we're encouraged to participate in, I think. And I'm proud of all of you for doing so.
And also, I mean, I know for myself, I can't speak for anybody else, but for myself, we're not out there actively trying to deceive anyone either. So when you see organizations that you can provably say they're deceiving you on it, you got to ask yourself why they're doing that. And then we're out here trying to show that you've been deceived by something. I'm not trying to deceive you into thinking you're being deceived or anything. So it doesn't make sense when people get so bent out of shape about, you know, alternative ideas. Just chill out.
We're into knowing, and belief is the enemy of knowing, right?
Well, it fits their plan too, because if we will fight about things, then we've been divided, and the divided get conquered. We need to be together. It doesn't matter if you like Trump and I don't believe in politics. It doesn't matter if you live on a spinning globe and I do not. We're human beings. We want the same things out of life. We don't want to be injured. We want to be happy. We want to be able to pay our bills. We're all the same in this. If we get cut, we all bleed the same color blood. And this is part of the plan when the flat earth comes up, is that fighting. And if you don't believe me, go look up Norman Montague or Montague Norman's speech from the Central Bank of England in 1924. Guess what, bankers? He tells everybody in America, all the bankers, we just invented the left and the right wing so these mindless idiots will fight about things that don't matter while we take over the world. What's the key to that plan? Division. And until we get back to respecting each other and us men opening doors for women out of respect for their renewing of life in this planet, if no other reason, and this gender agenda, which is also designed to weaken us, all these things, we've got to be together. And if we're not, we're going to have a rough go for quite a while.
Yep.
They'd already tried to pull their one world government off all the way back then. If you think about history after World War I, what did they do? But it didn't work then. They did the League of Nations. This was pre-United Nations. but too many countries were still very nationalistic. So what did they have to do? Smash the whole world to freaking pieces. And then they got their United Nations.
Yep. You know, this is a little off topic, but a friend of mine, I don't watch the news, told me that the state of Kansas is taking Pfizer to court for the damage of their vaccines.
Yes. Yep, they are.
Good. So there's two options here. Either that's a show for the psychological operations, or there are people standing up finally in positions that matter a little bit. And this is what I'm talking about. The last show we put up on Crow777Radio.com was about a woman who was told she couldn't access her beach in California during COVID. She stood up against all of it, and she has made a difference I can't explain to you, to the point where if there would have been a few thousand individuals in this country that acted in the way she did, we'd probably be standing in a different place right now. Fortune de Saint Germain, who's in a position to know things we will never know, to the point where I tell him not to tell me things because I'm worried about what I'm about to be told, said that we had a golden opportunity in 2020 and we failed miserably because we did what we were told. Had we not done that, this whole thing would have crumbled to the ground.
Before we met him, do you remember me saying on the air that this was a great test of humanity and humanity failed?
Yeah, it's sad. A lot of people have been lost. But at the end of the day, we've got to quit being so divided. Ideas are ideas. The truth will be the truth regardless of whether anyone knows it or they don't. It will still be the truth. It's not a reason for us to treat each other badly. And, you know, I guess the last thing I would mention here is the internet has really been designed to be a tool by the people who control it. And if you notice how divisive comment sections are and how fostered that is, think about this. I read the other day that if you are on a social media platform, there's more than a 60% chance that you're talking to a bot, even if you think you know who you're talking to.
Yeah, we just talked about that the other day, and especially on TikTok.
It's all silly.
Real quick before we get out of here.
You throw a grenade in the bomb in the comment section, just close the door, and you just walk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Posting ghosts, baby. It's fun. Before we do get out of here, though, I had a listener, and I'm glad you brought up Fortune de Saint Germain, because I've listened to a lot of those Q&As you do with him, and how did you come to know him? He's like a mentor type of figure, I'm assuming, to you, right? How did that even come about?
It's become that relationship started as one thing and has become more than I could have ever imagined, reciprocating in both directions. But I was on the air. I used to know the episode, Rose probably does. And I said, if there is a real alchemist, and I said something like, a real legit alchemist, I would like to meet you. And what's ironic about this is usually when I say that, 1,000 emails are coming. And a human being doesn't have enough time to read 1,000 emails. And the moment I saw that one come in, I noticed it. And I opened it and I wrote back. And that was the genesis. And then a bunch of other things happened, which really cemented that, you know, there is no coincidence in this lifetime. An action is always preceded by an action.
Followed your gut and look where we're at. I love listening to him. He's so slowly articulate in the way he explains things, and everything he says makes a lot of sense. So either he's AI or no, I'm just kidding.
Can you rule that out for us, Crow?
Yeah, he's a real man. You want to know what's real? I would almost certainly look like Michael J. Fox right now had I not met Fortune de Saint Germain. And if you believe me, ask Jason and Rose. I had somewhere between 15 and 20 shots when I was in the Marine Corps during the first Gulf War. By the time I was 33 or 34, I started noticing the first tremors in my hand occasionally. By the time I got here, it was getting worse. And then the year before I met Fortune, I realized that I've probably only got a year or two left. And that's not supposed to be curable. And as I speak to you now, I don't have Parkinson's disease.
Wow. If only science could help us, you know, figure out how to fix these things, it'd be so
useful. Those alchemists
useful.
Have the best weed, I'll tell you.
Well, we'll wrap up here, guys. Thanks so much. Rose and Jason, drive safe while you're on this call. I'm assuming you're not holding your phone up because you might get, you know, pulled over. Which would
no,
be story.
No.
Rose says yeah. She'd do the sovereign citizen in real time if they got pulled over. I was like, well, shit, let's stay on the air. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, you guys.
Ping, a full steel brand if that ever happens, but it's not what people would expect. It would probably seem really unique because I would be basically agreeing with them that I contracted and be open to whatever ticket I deserve. But then I would try to at least have them have a conversation with me like, what do you think of this after the fact?
Yeah. Be an interesting way to approach it for sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting tactic. I like it.
That reminds me of Paul Unslaved. Now, there's a conversation for people to go here. He gets pulled over, and by the end of the conversation, he's pretty much changed the cop's point of view on the world.
I think I remember that one, yeah. There's a lot of those videos going around.
Training enforcement officers and judges that the law is not what they were told.
Well, they're not.
Make people angry.
I was in law enforcement.
Which is great.
You know, I was in law enforcement before I went into the Marine Corps. Don't ask me why I had so many jobs with guns. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I swore I'd never have another gun job. But anyhow, what we were trained to do back then was way different than what goes on now. You did not just cuff and detain. And, you know, you had to tell people and follow rules. And there were all these things that were done. That's all out the window. I noticed the change as I left San Diego in 2015, the end of 2015, and I noticed that the sheriff, which had said to protect and serve for my whole life, had been changed to keeping the peace.
Well, it's the militarization. We've done whole episodes on that, and it's a militarization of police is no joke. Just look at the uniform difference now. They look like border agents or, you know, tactical, like Navy SEALs now compared to the old.
They used to look like Barney Fife.
Officer.
Yeah, they used to look like Barney Fife.
They look like Hydra agents.
Yeah, that, Skynet.
Be careful be careful of the simile there, my friend.
I said it. I know what I mean.
He
said
it.
Shield. I said Hydra.
He dropped it. It weighed 6 pounds.
He said it. Take us off. Take us off the air. Do it. All right, you guys, thanks so much. Brandon's show, obviously, you can find all of his stuff at expandingrealitypodcast.com. You can find all of Crow's stuff at Crow, CRROW777radio.com. And Jason and Rose, Rose has her own channel. Jason's got a Secrets of Saturn channel. Lots of good stuff always going on over in all these places. And I'll put all the links in the notes, of course, because
we got one more thing to throw out there if we have 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I just wanted to let you know that the Paul Enslaved episode is totally free for everyone. So everyone should check out that episode. It's 312.5. And then the episodes that we always recommend about politics are 120 and 283 and 452. And also a lot of people want to go and look at the sky and find that double sun as well. A lot of people are able to see it with the naked eye when the sun is close to the horizon. So you don't actually need a hydrogen alpha telescope if you can see the sun when it's close to the horizon. And there was recently a viewing in Dubai. So if people want to get out their cameras and shoot the sunrises and sunsets, that would be awesome. And remember, don't take a picture, take a video and move your camera around. Otherwise, it just can be chucked up to lens flare. So you need to take a video and move around when you catch that double sun. And I hope everyone tries this.
So Rose, nice. Cut out a little bit. Use video instead of a still, because we can't rule out lens flare if you just take a still. If you take video, slightly move the camera. And that's what Rose said. I don't know if she broke up. The other thing is, if you spot the second sun, I would appreciate being notified with some images, because I'm trying to map and look for cycles so that I can start to have an idea of when it can be filmed. Although I think the chem planes kind of tell us when that is.
That's to fight climate change, though, Crow. You know that.
Yeah, it's for the planet, man. Come on.
Yeah, save the planet. God forgot how to make planets, so if we don't save it, no one will.
Dude, this has
been amazing. Thank y'all so much, Joe. Thank you so much, Jason Rose. Great to hang out with you, of course. And Crow, when your ankle gets better, dude, I'm challenging you to a foot race. All right, so just let me know. I'm there.
Do you speak Tagalog?
What?
Puya biowa, my friend. No, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Of course, it's been too long, and we'll schedule you again maybe in the fall and see if you've come up with anything new. But we'll let you outro our show with your famous line from the end.
All right. Well, for everybody out there, everyone in the world, truly from the top of my heart, I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bad. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.